Australian companies exist under one of the tightest regulatory regimes in the world. And increasingly, directors on boards, non-executive directors, can be held criminally liable for decisions they take, well, actually, executive and non-executive directors, or projections they make. It's part of what John Colvin, my next guest, sees as the criminalisation of business. John's a former managing director of the Australian Institute of Company Directors and a consultant and former partner at Herbert Smith's Freehills. He's co-authored an article in a soon-to-be-published edition of the Australian Journal of Corporate Law on this area that is really bubbling away now in quite an interesting debate. Welcome to the program, John Colvin.
Thank you very much, Geraldine.
I gather that internationally it's quite unusual for criminal law to be applied in a corporate setting in this way. Can you help us understand?
Yes, I can. In a report done by Allen and Hemsley for the AICD, they look at the comparative nature of Australian versus a comparative basis, which is United States, England, Hong Kong and Canada, and they look at those countries, and then they look at how tough the laws are. And Australia, unfortunately, wins just about every case of being the most harsh in terms of director liability and also probably criminal liability. And in these circumstances, they look at this, and then you look at what's happening in Australia in terms of the development of criminal law, and particularly for directors and officers. Just to give you some examples, there are 723 sections which prescribe a penalty for an offence in the Corporations Act, and 367 impose a penalty of imprisonment. The Corporations Act is now 3,600 pages. When I was a young lad, I dealt with the 1961 Companies Act, and that had 447 pages. So this massive explosion, I think, in legislation, not only in terms of the Corporations Act, but in terms of all the other Commonwealth Acts, for example, and there's been a recent report by the Australian Law Reform Commission, and it's a discussion paper on the corporate criminal responsibility. And that's been, the final version has been tendered to the Attorney General, handed in. We haven't seen that yet, but they look at this particular aspect, and the paper's called Corporate Criminal Responsibility in a Discussion Paper. One of the findings that they have is that in Commonwealth legislation, there is 2,558 individual offences applicable to directors. And that's just the Commonwealth. There are hundreds more when you look at the states.
And is this in the last 10 years in particular?
I think I haven't seen that particular figure, but if you just think what's happened just prior to the Royal Commission and subsequent
to that. The Hayne Royal Commission on Banking.
The Hayne Royal Commission on Banking, yes. And I understand there's about 1,000 pages more of legislation waiting to come through. Now, that's been put on hold, as I understand it, for 6 months. But this sort of, if you like, unbelievable, nearly pile-driving of regulation, and particularly director liability, both criminal and civil, I think is very, very concerning.
Would you mind giving us quickly some examples of charges and penalties that directors might face?
Yeah, certainly. So with continuous disclosure, which is directors of a listed company must inform the market of any material changes which might have an effect on their price or their value of their shares, they must go out to the market and let the market know. Now, you can't have any real problem with that as a generality, and that would keep the market informed, and that's a good thing. However, if they get that wrong, there's up to 5 years imprisonment for that. So you wonder why we have class actions in Australia, and that's one of the main areas which is continuous to disclosure. You just see how harsh those penalties are against directors in an area which is very uncertain.
Now, isn't this exactly what has been given a bit of a reprieve recently by the Treasurer, that there's going to be some, because things do seem so uncertain, there was particular overtures made to him and he has actually relaxed some. I was seeing some the ASIC people are talking about that as well.
Yes, that's true. And also in relation to trading insolvently, that has also been given some reprieve. And I think that's been a very wise decision of the Treasurer and also just generally, because the argument would be the pandemic hit. You should have understood that that was coming and the shares went down and then suddenly they've come back up again. But people who bought shares maybe at this time versus that time,
But isn't the classic balancing act, John, between ethics and dynamism, between the ability to take risk and yet behaving ethically? And a lot of listeners might say, leaving aside the current time, if a lot of the actions are unethical and illegal, if a bit blurred, why should there not be criminal penalties?
Well, I think that's a good point, and I don't think there's going to be much argument about whether there should be criminal penalties or not. But they have to be highly targeted, and there shouldn't be very many of them, really. If you look at it, the type of criminal penalties which are in the Corporations Act can also relate to just not filing documents or administrative action. Under the Tax Act, it's even if you've told your accountant to put your file your tax return and so forth, you still end up with this, what they call a strict liability. And a strict liability in many cases, and another one called managerial or positional liability, are the two really offensive ones in my view and in our view, Brendan Hoard, who's the co-author of the journal, in those cases. And the reason for that is strict liability is there's no defence. So even if you're an honest and responsible director, if you are charged with an offence under one of those strict liabilities, that's just it. That's the end of it. The normal rule of law of guilty until proven innocent is sort of set aside. And the same with some of the positional liabilities, which is if you are a director and there's an offence created by the company, you as a director may become personally liable, even though you had no direct association with whatever the action was. In other words, the presumption of innocent until proven guilty is set aside. So there's a really worrying aspect.
Well, I've just had a text come through, and it's the classic response, one of our listeners. If you're not doing anything wrong, then you don't have to worry. Isn't that a reasonable answer?
No, it's not the case. And that's one of the biggest problems, because there is so much legislation and there is so many offences, it's difficult for anybody to understand which offences are applicable and which aren't. As I've said, there's thousands of these types of legislation, pieces of legislation and offences. And we don't have in Australia, like they do in America, a business judgment rule defence. So if you are in America and, an issue comes up for a director, in Delaware, for example, which is the main court that deals with this, there is a business judgment rule which says, did you apply your, common sense, or did you apply your judgment to this issue? And was it an honest and reasonable attempt? And if the answer is yes, the directors can rely on that particular, those issues and also that defence. But in Australia, we don't really have one. We have a type of one in a section called 181, but it only applies to that one section and doesn't apply to the whole of the Corporations Act. So I don't think you can say that if you do the right thing and you are acting honestly and reasonably, that you are going to be free from this, from type of charges, including criminal charges.
But I suppose and it's the individual liability, you're saying, that the culpability or liability of individual directors that concerns you.
Yes.
What about with comparison with, say, other professions, with doctors, for instance, or with engineers, or with what is emerging this week, with politicians or with public servants, and whether there's equivalent type of responsibility or liability, more to the point.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because if you think about all the offences that directors can be charged with, and then you compare them to virtually anybody else in Australia, it's a stark contrast. In the article, we had a look at politicians, and they have very little, if any, particularly when they're in Parliament. They could be voted out next time, but I think most directors would be delighted if that's all that happened to them. I'll just tell you the other one also. The other one's the public sector and lawyers we look at, and there is a huge discrepancy between what's considered to be illegal and unfair in corporation life with directors versus any other profession or any other occupation.
Tim Gordon from Gilbert and Tobin, another law firm, put forward some similar concerns to yours in the Financial Review last week. He said it was now possible for a director to be found to have acted dishonestly when they didn't know they were being dishonest. Unknowing dishonesty, he called it. Now, is this really, which sounds egregiously unfair, but yes. Is this partly the response, as one of our listeners has also said, Australian directors of large corporations rarely go to jail. This is pure red tape cutting propaganda. This is from Andy. Is there a sense that directors of a lot of companies don't ask sufficient questions and don't know when, say, the executive has gone awry or something is happening? I mean, we saw that very much on display with the Hayne Royal Commission.
Well, there's no doubt that business decisions go wrong. In fact, it's nearly axiomatic that you have to take risks in business, and then you also have to make sure that you have a compliance program, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's strange to think that it can't go wrong at various stages, and that decisions made with the best intentions in the world can't be upset by market forces, by pandemics, by cyber, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing is, the Corporations Act applies not just to the large listed companies; it applies to all companies under the Corporations Act. And the last figure I saw was 2.3 million directors, and apparently that's up to about 2.5. So small companies are also covered by this type of legislation.
And what's the matter there?
Well, there's not much of a problem, I don't think, in this area. But when you have so much legislation and so many offences, they have to fly blind in a way because they don't have, you know, lawyers, et cetera, at hand. Generally, they don't cause too many problems because they're private companies and the problems they cause are largely for themselves.
Mm. We did have somebody come to me straight away after hearing me speak on the radio about this yesterday morning with Hamish McDonald, saying yes. That not-for-profit sector has a lot of directors who he was suggesting, this man, were not properly trained in governance. Are they affected by this as well?
Yes, they are. There's a separate piece of legislation called the ACNC, Australian Charities and Not-for-Profit Legislation. But some of them are also companies limited by guarantee, which would be also covered. I think I don't think it's right to say that Australian directors aren't well educated, because I think they're probably some of the best educated directors in the world. And the reason for that is they have to be. But there's also, I think there's a great willingness in Australia to try to do the right thing. There's a great willingness to learn, and there's a great willingness to try and get on top of issues, not only law, but all the other issues of investments and taking risks, etc. The issue really is just the amount of legislation and the amount of criminal criminal problems under these acts.
You suggest there could be a real risk in attracting decent people to be directors. There doesn't seem to be much evidence of that yet, though, John. I mean, they're all some extremely well-paid directors. Is it really putting people off this?
Look, I think the AIC has done a number of surveys over a number of years. They were doing it when I was there, and they've continued it. And it is a real concern for people who want to be directors. It's a real negative. It's a concern for people who are existing directors and they're asked to go on further boards. And it's a concern because there's definitely a view that decisions made in boardrooms in Australia are far too conservative when it comes to risk-taking because of the conformance aspect.
Yeah, okay.
And the other aspect is they're spending so much time in conformance, they're not actually, you know, have enough time to do the performance part of the, you know, their companies.
Now, I have to tell you that text after text after text is coming in from our mm-hmm. audience really taking issue with you, saying when is a single director really charged with anything that matters? When have they ever gone to jail? When have they been struck off or found to be an unfit person within these laws? When are we going to see some charges coming out of the Banking Royal Commission? Well, actually, there are a couple already. But how do you answer these people who are coming into me now, real people?
Well, one would look at, first of all, what do non-executive directors and directors do at a board level? The non-executive directors in particular aren't part of management in the sense of doing the management. They are non-executives looking at overall policies, procedures, they're overall the business. They're not in the management structure of it.
Okay.
So you'd be surprised and you'd be a bit concerned if non-executive directors of large
being charged.
Being charged. So that's
John,
the first point.
John, no, you haven't got a second point. I'm afraid you'll have to tell me later. Look, thank you very much indeed for putting this on the table.
That's a delight. Thank you very much.
John Colvin with a soon-to-be-published article in the Australian Journal of Corporate Law.